Hello, this is Joan with the Bloomington Normal Pantograph, dated Thursday, October 29th, 2020. We will begin today's reading with the front page article headlined, IHSA, Game On, Despite Pritzker, High Schools to Play Basketball, by Joey Wagner and Jim Benson. Bloomington. In a surprising turn of events, the Illinois High School Association is pushing forward with high school basketball this winter. One day after Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker and the Illinois Department of Public Health announced basketball was moved from a medium-risk sport to a high-risk sport, seemingly making a winter season a long shot, the IHSA board decided to go forward with the season in a special board of directors meeting on Wednesday. The season is set to begin on November 16th for practices, with games on November 30th. The board also voted to move wrestling from the winter season to the summer season, which will run from April 19th to June 26th. "That's a blessing for us," said J.T. Welch, a Central Catholic High School's senior basketball player. "We were hearing things were not going our way. We've been trying to stay positive and keep working like it's going to happen. I feel we have a chance of that happening now, so that's awesome to hear. We're ready to go." The board will follow the guidance of the IHSA Sport Medicine Advisory Committee and will allow boys and girls basketball to begin practices per IHSA Return to Activities 2.0 on November 16th. Contests can begin on November 30th within an Illinois COVID region or within a conference. "This is absolutely earth-shattering news," said Dustin Fink, a member of the Sports Medicine Advisory Committee. "There were maybe 1 in 1,000 chances of this happening, and it happened." Central Catholic boys basketball coach Jason Welch, who is JT's father, said the news for super exciting, and I couldn't be more excited for kids across the state of Illinois. "The reality is, a lot of these guys have worked a lifetime to get in here and have a senior year. But beyond that, the kids need that," said Jason Welch. "It's from a mental health standpoint, it's a real positive. There's a lot of lessons they learn from the game of basketball beyond wins and losses. As a part of the mitigation plan, masks will be worn by all players and coaches and officials during play. Boys and girls basketball teams will follow team limitations, allowing a maximum of 31 games. It will become a local school decision to determine if a school will allow their basketball teams to participate following the guidelines developed by the SMAC. After diligent discussion, the board has made the decision today to follow the recommendation of the IHSA SMAC as it relates to basketball," the IHSA stated in its release. "The board remains considerate of rising COVID-19 cases in Illinois and understand the importance of adhering to safety guidelines for the good of all citizens. However, the board has not been presented any causal evidence that rising COVID-19 cases make basketball more dangerous to play by the IDPH or any other health organization nationally or internationally. On the contrary, the IHSA has been looking to bordering states who have sponsored both medium-risk and high-risk sports in the fall that have noted a low incident rate of COVID-19 spread." Olympic girls basketball coach Courtney Hoffman has been through this before. Hoffman also serves as the Spartans' softball coach. "She watched the dismay of her players when spring seasons were first put on hold when the COVID-19 pandemic began in March and then later canceled." When Hoffman told her basketball players Wednesday about the IHSA's decision, they wanted to start practice immediately. "I'm so excited that hopefully it's working out," said Hoffman. but it's in the back of my mind still from softball season. They can take it away at any time. I'm cautiously optimistic for the season, I guess. Hoffman said it has been a roller coaster of emotions in a 24-hour span. We heard Governor Pritzker's decision Tuesday, and immediately I'm thinking, how do I tell my kids again? How do I tell my seniors again? She said. I keep running through the heartache we had to go through last spring. I was bummed I would have to go through that again with my kids. Normal Community Boys coach Dave Witzig was grateful there is more hope today about having a basketball season than there was Tuesday. We just think the IHSA had a good plan, the return to play, and a safe plan. I think it can work, and other states are showing it can work, said Witzig. I know there's a lot of pressure on everybody to make the right decision. I think the IHSA has a really good plan that we can follow and can work. El Paso Gridley boys coach Nathaniel Meese said had resigned himself to not having a season. Based off the history of how things were going over the course of time over the last few months, it seemed like there wasn't going to be anything, he said. I was kind of thinking, what I'm going to do. Players have been required to wear masks during contact days this fall. While that isn't what they would prefer, everyone seems willing to wear masks to be able to play. It's like playing at elevation. They have to get acclimated, said Meese. Fortunately, we've been doing it the last month or two, so you've had a little bit of acclimation. I think it's doable if we're required to wear masks. But as far as your stamina, that's obviously something you're going to have to worry about subbing a little more than normal. Hoffman agreed. We've scrimmaged, and at the end of 10 minutes, it changes how we play the game a little bit. But the girl said we would play in anything in order to play, she said. They're so excited to be able to play. The mask is just a side note. We'll deal with it. It's harder for them to breathe and things like that. Coaching the game is a little different. The subs will be in and out a lot more and being aware of watching the kids and how they're doing with their breathing and stuff. The IHSA's statement said there were many factors in making their decision to go forward with the basketball season. Mounting challenges from increased mental health issues among our students to a shrinking calendar that limits our ability to move sports seasons this school year were instrumental in this decision to move forward with basketball as scheduled. We see our students regularly leaving the state to play sports or covertly continuing to play locally. Students can be better protected in the high school setting, and the board remains steadfast that playing under IHSA rules and SMAC mitigation is the safest way to conduct athletics at this juncture. Illinois is a large and diverse state, and the IHSA membership is reflective of that. We understand that this decision will impact each high school and district differently. Some schools who remain in remote learning may not be able to start winter sports on time, and we feel for those in that situation. However, we have also learned that we cannot continue to look down the road to a season that may never come. Contact days for our teams this fall have been an incredible boon to our students' well-being. We fear for the mental health of students who attempt to traverse a long winter with no athletic outlet available. So much about dealing with this virus has been learned in the past 8 months. And this decision will grant the membership the opportunity to apply that knowledge during their basketball season. The next front page story is entitled, Five More Die of COVID in Central Illinois, by Paul Sweech. Bloomington. Five more Central Illinois residents have died of COVID-19, public health officials reported on Wednesday, as the governor and Illinois Department of Public Health added two northeastern counties to the growing list of regions with restrictions because of resurgence of the virus. Among the deceased reported Wednesday by the Illinois Department of Public Health were two McLean County women, one in her 50s and one in her 90s, and a Piatt County man in his 80s. Jessica McKnight, administrator of the McLean County Health Department, said Wednesday that the health department was investigating the two McLean County deaths and hoped to have more information on Thursday. David Remmert, administrator of the DeWitt Piatt Bi-County Health Department, confirmed the death of the Piatt County man and said he was Piatt County's first COVID fatality. Two new McLean County deaths would mean that 38 county residents have died of the virus, although the health department continued to report 36 on Wednesday. Five deaths have been reported so far this week. Woodford County Health Department reported that county's 18th COVID death, a man in his 80s with comorbidities, more than one medical condition, but not a resident of a long-term care facility. LaSalle County Health Department reported that a woman in her 90s was that county's 66th COVID-related death. Governor J.B. Pritzker and IDPH announced COVID resurgence restrictions in Lake and McHenry counties effective Saturday. Those two counties, which make up the state's Region 9, have experienced a 7-day average of COVID positivity rate of 8% or higher for three straight days, exceeding thresholds set for establishing restrictions under the state's Restore Illinois Resurgence Plan, the governor and IDPH said. Region 9 will be the eighth of the state's 11 regions to operate under resurgence mitigations, Pritzker said. The two central Illinois regions are not yet included on that list. Pritzker said, beginning on Saturday at 12:01 a.m., public gatherings in Lake and McHenry counties will be reduced to 25 people, and indoor dining and indoor bar service will be temporarily closed, although outdoor service in tents and takeout, delivery, and drive-through service will remain available. These resurgence mitigations aim to cut down on some of the highest high-risk activities until we bring down the positivity rate in a region once again, he said. I know this virus is hard on everyone, but this battle isn't going away by itself. We have to manage our way through it with the tools we have available to us. And there are many of those tools that nearly everyone in our state has available to join the fight. With Region 9 being added to the list of regions in mitigation, we're getting close to the entire state implementing mitigation measures, said IDPH Director Dr. Ngozi Ezike. This is not just a warning, but a call to action, Ezike said. We continue to move backwards, losing all the ground we had gained over the summer. We turned the state around once, let's do it again. Limit your exposures by wearing a mask, physically distancing, and limiting in-person gatherings. It will take all of us working together to beat this virus. But Illinois Senate Republicans, led by Senate Minority Leader Bill Brady of Bloomington, urged Pritzker to release data that he's using to impose the restrictions. Brady called for a public hearing for Pritzker to lay out the numbers that he says show that the fall surge in COVID is fueled by close contact among restaurant and bar patrons. In McLean County, McKnight reported 39 more COVID cases, meaning 228 county residents have been diagnosed with the virus so far this week, and 4,259 since March 19th. 46 more people were isolating at home, as McKnight reported that 393 people were in home isolation on Wednesday, compared with 347 on Tuesday. 11 people were hospitalized with COVID, one fewer than on Tuesday, with none of the 11 in intensive care, she said. 26 more people have recovered, as McKnight reported that 3,811 have recovered from the virus since March, compared with 3,785 on Tuesday. The county's seven-day positivity rate, the percent of county residents who have tested positive for the virus in the past week, continued to edge up. The rate was 5.6% on Wednesday, compared with 5.4% on Tuesday. The county's cumulative positivity rate of more than 97,500 COVID tests of county residents since March was 4.4% on Wednesday, compared with 4.3% on Tuesday. Central Illinois counties reporting spikes in COVID cases on Wednesday were Tazewell and LaSalle counties. Tazewell reported 77 new cases on Wednesday, including 17 at the Federal Correctional Institution in Pekin, to bring that county's total to 2,802 cases. The prison is experiencing an outbreak with 109 cases since late September. Statewide, IDPH reported 6,110 new COVID cases and 51 additional COVID-related deaths on Wednesday, bringing the state's total since March to 389,095 cases and 9,619 deaths. The statewide seven-day positivity rate for cases as a percent of tests rose from 6.4% to 6.7%. As of Tuesday night, 2,861 people in Illinois were hospitalized with COVID, with 600 in intensive care and 243 on ventilators. And here's another front page story entitled, IWU Experts Get Lead Out of Hunting, Toxic Metal Found in Deer Meat, Safer Ammunition Urged, by Lenore Sabota. Bloomington. Two Illinois Wesleyan University professors found lead fragments in ground venison from deer harvested with lead ammunition, and they recommended a switch to non-toxic ammunition to avoid potential health risks. In their research, biology professor Given Harper and Aaron Wilson, assistant professor of environmental sciences, analyzed packets of ground deer meat from two groups of hunters, those who had taken deer through archery and those who had used shotguns with lead ammunition. Harper said 48% of the ground venison packets from shotgun-harvested deer had metal fragments. Further testing determined the metal was lead. There were no detectable fragments in the archery-harvested deer meat, said Wilson. Archery season began October 1st for hunters in Illinois, and shotgun season begins in November. Although ammunition with lead is commonly used, there are alternatives, including copper, zinc, steel, and tin. For years, I used lead ammunition and was unaware of the problem, said Harper. I've switched to non-toxic copper. He said, I would urge hunters to look at alternatives to lead to protect themselves and their families, and also protect animals like bald eagles. Eagles and other wildlife can ingest lead when they scavenge dead deer who were not recovered after being shot by a hunter using lead ammunition, or from eating gut piles left behind after hunters harvested deer. Lead is a major mortality factor in eagles, said Harper. Lead is a neurotoxin that can harm the nervous system, especially in children. Lead has been outlawed and removed from paint, gasoline, and children's toys. The Federal Centers for Disease Control in 2012 lowered the level of concern in children to 5 micrograms per deciliter of blood. Lead ammunition is banned in waterfowl hunting, and the state of California has banned lead ammunition from all hunting. Its use also is banned for deer hunting in some areas, such as McLean County's Comalara Park and the preserves of the Parklands Foundation in McLean and Woodford counties. Those bans were put in place to reduce the possibility of secondary poisoning of bald eagles, said Harper. A bill pending in Congress, the Lead Endangers Animals Daily Act, or Lead Act, would ban use of lead ammunition. The ban is opposed by the National Shooting Sports Foundation, a firearms industry trade association. The association argues in a position paper that game harvested with lead ammunition has been safely consumed by humans for hundreds of years. The NSSF points to a study by the Federal Centers for Disease Control of the blood lead levels of hunters in North Dakota and their families. The average lead level in children in the study was 0.88 micrograms per deciliter. But Wilson said, "We know there is no safe level of lead. There really is no good clean threshold that says lead is safe below a certain level and dangerous above it. It doesn't matter how it gets into your system, it all adds up," said Wilson, citing incremental exposure to other lead sources such as lead paint and residual lead that is accumulated in soil and dust, as well as lead in water supplies, the problem encountered at a high level in Flint, Michigan. The CDC says no safe blood lead level in children has been identified. Even low levels of lead in blood have been shown to affect IQ, ability to pay attention, and academic achievement. The Firearms Trade Association characterizes attempts to ban lead ammunition as being anti-hunting and argues that they will result in the purchase of fewer hunting licenses from which fees are obtained for wildlife conservation measures. Harper said he is a hunter himself and not against hunting. "Hunting is a vital management tool in Illinois, where deer have no predators such as wolves and cougars." The next story is headlined, "Weichel, Unit 5, Glad to be Back," by Kelsey Watznauer. Normal. After about a week and a half of hybrid learning from McLean County Unit 5 students, the superintendent said students and staff seem glad to be back in school. "A school building's just not a building without the kids in it, and so there's just great energy," said Superintendent Kristen Weichel after visiting the schools and talking with students. When the school board met at Normal Community West High School on Wednesday night, the superintendent thanked the students and families and acknowledged the difficulty of the decisions that parents faced with the return to in-person learning. "Our students are doing a great job of wearing their masks, of trying to follow the social distancing," she said. "I know our staff is working so extremely hard, ranging from our certified staff to our non-certified staff. It's not an easy task to do what our teachers are doing. I appreciate what our staff members are doing, so thank you so much for them." Some parents have continued to reach out to the district in an attempt to switch their students' learning model, but Weichel said at this point, "We can't have that constant back and forth." According to the data taken from the Unit 5 website, 7 students and 2 staff members have tested positive for COVID-19 since the hybrid plan began last week. Weichel said families and members of the district community are notified for positive cases when those people have been inside the buildings, but the online data also includes all positive cases, including remote learners. In her opening comments, Weichel also mentioned the Illinois High School Association board decision to go forward with the winter basketball season, despite recommendations from Governor J.B. Pritzker and the Illinois Department of Public Health. "At this point, we've not made any decisions for Unit 5's plans," Weichel said, adding she will discuss the matter with other area superintendents and an administrator from IHSA on Thursday. In other business, the board approved a bid from Pipco Companies to replace a chiller at Normal Community West High School. The Peoria contractor was the low bidder for the project at $244,000. The board also voted to approve a 3-year contract with the Unit 5 Support Professionals Association, the second staff agreement to be approved at Unit 5 this month after the teachers' union's contract was approved at the last meeting. The contract includes an average increase of 4.32% per year in the cost to the school district, said Kurt Richardson, the district attorney. And in another school story, here's a story entitled, BJHS Staffer Tests Positive for COVID, by Lenore Sabota. Bloomington. Bloomington District 87, which had a staff member test positive for the coronavirus, will have a COVID-19 dashboard on its website by early next week, Superintendent Barry Riley told the school board Wednesday. The person who tested positive was a Bloomington Junior High School staff member, he said. After the meeting, he told the Pantograph that 7 or 8 staff members who had been in close contact with the person had to isolate as well. The dashboard, which will be updated weekly, will contain the number of students and staff who have tested positive and the number who are quarantined. BJHS students are still attending classes remotely, and Riley does not expect the planned resumption of in-person hybrid classes for 6th graders to be delayed. They are scheduled to return November 9th. Administrators and directors met after the positive case to review safety protocols, he said. Among other steps, they are minimizing risks by having meetings via Zoom conferencing rather than face-to-face. The school board has moved its meetings to the Bloomington High School auditorium with seats spaced at least 6 feet apart and everyone wearing face coverings. In other business, the board learned that the District 87 expects its tax rate to remain flat at $5.14 per $100 equalized assessed valuation on bills to be sent next year. The owner of a home valued at $165,000 would pay $2,827 in 2021 if the rate stays at $5.14. Whether an individual's tax bill remains flat or changes depends on several factors, including whether the assessed valuation of their property is changed. The actual tax rate will be set in early spring after the district's equalized assessed valuation is determined. The estimate is based on the district's EAV going up 3%. If values increase less than that, which is possible, the tax rate could be higher. The estimated total property taxes to be levied for fiscal year 2022 is $44.95 million, a 2.85% increase over the total of $43.7 million extended or abated for fiscal year 2021. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the Pantograph for October 29th. Please stay tuned.